Alrighty. Well, Will asked me to teach on Kingdom of God in Acts in the church epistles. And last week I promised that I would only be able to do a fragment of it. And that's the way it's going to be. I'm gonna do what I figured out so far. And there's a lot more. There's a lot more fun things to look at in the future. Let's go to Acts 15. Acts 15. And we'll read verse 18. In the King James, it's, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." And we actually read this verse earlier in this teaching series, and it's in the context. You can see it's about the Gentiles being included, and known unto God are his works from the beginning of the world. And I think one of the things that's blessed me the most about studying the kingdom of God is just seeing the big picture from Genesis to Revelation, just looking at the big picture of just how great God is and how, you know, he's just, God's got it figured out. And then we get to put our hearts and minds into his word and put that on, and it has tremendous blessing and impact for us. But I think this topic in particular, it's just so big, and it's just, you know, it's fun to look at something so big that only God could have woven together through the centuries. And this verse also made me think. It says, "Known unto God are his works from the beginning of the world." We're getting ready to talk about Acts and the church epistles. We're getting ready to talk about the age of grace. And just because all of God's works were known to God from the beginning of the world doesn't mean everybody else knew about them either. Yeah, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things that he's revealed are ours. That's a horrible misquote. Somebody can look that up later. But anyway, you know, we're getting ready to talk about the grace administration and, a period of time that was so magnificent that God unfolded a whole new section of Scripture for us to grasp the greatness of what he had done. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. These verses have always thrilled me because they show one of the main reasons that God kept the mystery a secret. And 1 Corinthians 2, I want to pick up verse 5 because it'll tie in. Paul is... Let's start in verse 4. "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." God had such magnificent things in mind for us in this grace administration that, and he knew what he was doing, and he kept them secret. But then he unveiled them. It's not a secret anymore. And I wanted to especially include verse 5 because not the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And power of God is one of the great things that's connected with the kingdom of God as we read through the book of Acts. And, you know, I think back, we've recently been doing this series on the kingdom of God, but we touched on the kingdom of God, I don't know, a year or couldn't be much over a year ago because we weren't here. But we touched on it back then, and the thing that really struck me and showed me that this was a really worthwhile topic to look at was it's connected with the power of God. It's strongly connected with the power of God. Jesus Christ said, you know, the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And then the next thing you know, devil spirits are getting cast out and the lame are healed. And, you know, it's just connected. And let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. So a year ago we saw how, and we'll go through this again so we can all see it. A year ago we looked at how the kingdom of God is connected with the power of God in manifestation. And First Corinthians 15, and I want to touch on that again tonight. But as I was reading back through these verses in Acts, when the kingdom of God is preached, there's two things that always come up. One of them is the power of God, and the other one is Jesus Christ. And we'll have fun looking at that. And 1 Corinthians 15, let's go to verse 22. For as in Adam all die, that's the original Adam, not the one that's on the phone line. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, he was the first to rise from the dead to eternal life. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. And that even gets broken down in 1 Thessalonians 4, where you see the dead in Christ rise first, and then we which are alive and remain join them, and we meet the Lord in the air. But afterward, they that are Christ that is coming. So all of that happens, and then, sometime after that, then cometh the end, when he, Jesus Christ, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So it's clear that some of these enemies have not been completely put under his feet yet, but it's coming. And, you know, if you since we're talking about the kingdom of God, one of the great occurrences of the word king is when Jesus Christ comes back with written on his thigh is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Dr. Earle used to say, and he's going to knock some ear balls together. Will mentioned in an earlier teaching that, there's some cleanup that has to happen before we can enjoy eternity with God, and Jesus Christ is part of making that happen. And he reigns. That's what a king does. He reigns until he hath put all enemies under his feet. So apparently that's a process. And I don't know what pieces of that are happening now. I do know that there are significant pieces of it that happen after we are gathered together. And because that's what this context is talking about. Afterwards, they that are Christ that is coming, that's us, we're delivered from the wrath to come. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. And those words, authority and power, really stuck out to me as I was reading through this. Because that's what a king exercises. A king exercises authority and power. And we're going to see that. We're going to go back to the book of Acts, and we'll see that when people talked about, when they preached the kingdom of God or spoke of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, the power of God is very clear in the context. And the way and how God did it, Jesus Christ, is also always included when the kingdom of God is talked about. And here, Jesus Christ is the king, ruling until all are under his feet. But the very essence of Jesus Christ is that he always did the Father's will. He's not an independent contractor. You know, well, let me go. I'll go out and do what I can, and, you know, I'll check in with God every once in a while. He always does the Father's will. He still always does the Father's will. And the power that he has still comes from God. And so, you know, when we read about the kingdom of God, and yet we see Jesus reigning as a king here, it is not difficult to understand. It says when he's done and everything's put under his feet, then everything's going to be under God. Because I think Will kicked off this teaching series talking about how the kingdom of God is kind of how God always wanted things to be. You know, you think about Adam and the close communion they had with them, and we certainly look forward to it in the future. So authority and power, and let's go back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. One of the things we've talked about is the fullness of the kingdom of God is a thing that is coming in the future, but it is not something that you have to wait till the sweet by and by to experience, because God's authority and power, God's power is available right now. And we use the term at times, it's perfect in the future, and every once in a while that breaks through in the present. And I don't know if I'm wild about that terminology, because I don't think God has given us power. Mm-hmm. He just has. And we get to manifest it now. Okay, so let's go back to the book of Acts. And so Jesus Christ and power. Let's watch for that in the context here. First one is Acts 1:3. The apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so God sort of capsulizes what Jesus Christ spoke to them about in those 40 days by saying he spoke about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, it's fun to go back to the tail end of the four Gospels and see what Jesus Christ actually spoke to them about. Because did he speak to them about future events? I'll bet you he did. But that's not what's recorded in the Bible. What's recorded in the Bible at the end of John is he sat with them and said, "Breathe in and receive the Holy Spirit." He taught them how to receive Holy Spirit now. It's the power of God now. And he took Peter aside and said, "Feed my flock." now. And so, speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God cannot limit the things that we talk about with people to future events. And another thing I've really, really enjoyed about this series is the sharing that Ryan did on, you know, from Isaiah and from other places in the Old Testament, just such beautiful pictures of how things are going to turn out in the future. But that's not all there is to the kingdom of God. And we'll talk about that. But in John, takes Peter aside, feed my flock now. In every gospel, I think, Will know better than I do, but I think he tells them to go and preach to all nations or something like that. He tells them what to do now. And I think about the ascension, Jesus Christ going up into heaven, and they're all watching him go up, you know, sandals in the sky, and they're watching him go up, and the angels are saying, why are you looking up into heaven? Go to Jerusalem, he told you what to do. He said, wait for the promise of the Father, or tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. That's what he told them. So when he spoke to them about the kingdom of God, those are the things he talked about. And I'm not saying he didn't handle future events. There's beautiful things that Jesus Christ taught on future events, especially, you know, Last Supper and all that time period. But if you look at the 40 days, what's recorded in the gospel about the 40 days, it's him talking to them about what they're getting ready to do now. And so I think that gives us, well, at least it gives me a fresh idea of what preaching the kingdom of God is. And let's, you know that... you know, even in Acts 1:8, he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So, let's go to, I think, Acts 8, I'm sorry. Kingdom of God here. And here, this is Philip. Philip goes down to Samaria. And in Acts 8, verse 5, it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So I told you the two things we're going to see is Christ, because that's what they talked to him about. If you just start at the beginning of Acts and keep reading, there's no teaching where they don't talk about this man went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and you dumbasses crucified him, but God raised him from the dead, and you know by him you have forgiveness of sins, and you know it's just about because Jesus Christ is how this grace administration that we get to be a part of was sprung on everybody. He did it. He paid the price, and that's what they taught people about. We will have more to say about the future, but they taught it to them so that they could have God's power now, and to know that they had it. So in Acts 8:5, it's he preached Christ unto them, and in Acts 8, 12? Acts 8, 12, but when they, the Samaritans, believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So in 5, it says he preached Christ unto them. In 12, it says he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God. And you cannot do one without the other. And was there any power manifested in this record? Right in between those two verses, you got verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. So, Jesus Christ and the power of God. When the kingdom is preached, those are the two things you see happening. And, you know, while we're in Acts 8, I just... the eunuch is later on here. Where the heck's the eunuch?
26, it starts.
Philip ran thither to him, heard him... Okay, Acts 8:30. And Philip ran thither to him, the eunuch in the chariot, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So there's Jesus. There. This is Philip, the guy that did the miracles in Samaria, talking to one guy here, and he listened and found out where the guy was, and he didn't say, well, that's great in Isaiah, but we're going to go over here, and I'm going to tell you a few things about Jesus Christ. He started at the same scripture, and I love that about Philip. Because Philip knew the word well enough to meet that guy exactly where he was and take him further. Show him, guess what?
Jesus
Christ and the power of God. And the guy got born again. And anyway, I thought that's cool. And we, you know, when you think about, okay, how are we going to preach the kingdom of God? We got to meet people where they are. You could be talking to an atheist. You're not going to have the same conversation Philip did with. You know, you meet people where they are, and, you know, slowly or quickly or by hook or by crook, somehow you get around to telling them what was accomplished for them by Jesus Christ and the fact that they've got power. And, you know, and power includes, you know, not only being born again and having Holy Spirit, but knowing that you're born again and having Holy Spirit. Anyway, so I just couldn't leave that out on Philip, because Jesus and power of God, and as far as Jesus goes, we find out where people are, and then we go from there. And, you know, like Paul saying, he's all things to all men. And there's undoubtedly people out there that where you meet them, you're going to say, hey, did you ever hear about the lion lying down with the lamb, and then we get to live without fear for all eternity? And it might hit their hearts. But there's other people that it's like, who cares? You know, you have to meet them where they are. And I'm just saying that preaching the kingdom of God is not limited. It's not limited in any way except that Jesus Christ is pivotal to it. And anyway, so let's go to Acts 19. See about Jesus Christ and the power of God. Acts 19, it's really enjoyable to read the whole chapter. In the beginning of 19, Paul shows up in Ephesus, and I've always loved, Paul says, have you received Holy Spirit since ye were baptized, since ye believed? And, you know, what's he talking about? He's talking about power. And he's talking about right now. He's not saying in the future or are you going to. He's saying right now, have you received Holy Spirit since you believed? And I love their answer. We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. And so he met them exactly where they were. And he said unto them, what were you baptized? They said, John's baptism. And Paul didn't say, John, forget John. He said, well, I'll tell you something about John. John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, and that is on Christ Jesus. And so he met them right where they were. They were there with John's baptism. They said, yeah, John preached on, and all of a sudden he's talking about Jesus Christ. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came to them. They spake with tongues and prophesied, manifested the power of God. And he went into the synagogue, you know, where the Judeans were, and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And you talk to people for 3 months, you should have a variety of material that you're going to cover with them. But it's always going to have in it, Jesus Christ, what did he do for you? What have you got? And what can you do with it? And the power of God. And so he's talked to them about the things concerning the kingdom of God. And then he had to go to the school of Tyrannus, and then he was there for 2 years. So you better have some even more diverse material to share with them, because you're meeting people where they are and bringing them a step further. And in verse 11, what do you know? God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, diseases departed from them, evil spirits. So power of God. And I love this. The next section is the vagabond Jews, exorcists, who took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of Sceva. And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And they knew Paul because he believed the word. When he was speaking about the kingdom of God, when you talk about God's power and authority, if you're going to cast out a devil spirit, this was a guy who knew God had the power and authority to do that. And all he had to do was get involved. And so, anyway, so that I love that. Who are you? let's see. I think there is one in Acts 20. Acts 20:25. He's saying goodbye to the people at Ephesus, the very people that we were reading about here. And he said, I went among you preaching the kingdom of God. That's what I did. And let's go to 28. Acts 28. This is the end of the book of Acts, as you can tell from the period at the end. Now, this is the end of the book of Acts, and it's where we leave this inspired record of the Apostle Paul. And this really struck me when I first started looking at Kingdom of God, is that in 2 places here at the end of the book of Acts, it says that Paul was preaching the Kingdom of God. First, he meets with the Judeans in the area, if I'm thinking correctly here. And in verse 22, they come to see him and said, we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him in his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning what? Jesus. So concerning them, Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. The works of God are known from the beginning, known to God from the beginning of the world, and he loaded up the Old Testament with enough stuff that Philip could sit with a guy in his chariot and bring him along to what's available now in Jesus Christ. And that Paul could, you think about Jesus on the road to Emmaus, and you know, he showed him all the places in the scriptures about himself. And here Paul could speak to them about the kingdom of God. And speaking to this Judean audience, the law of Moses and the prophets was a rich resource for him. He was meeting them where they were, and then just taking them further if they wanted to go further, which I don't think they did. I forget. They agreed not among themselves. So maybe some did, some didn't.
Yeah, 24, some believed.
Some believed the things that were spoken, some believed not. So, but then, so he says, well, I'm going to the Gentiles in verse 28, and they will hear it. And when he had said these things, these words, verse 29, the Judeans departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So, preaching the kingdom of God. And Acts 28:30, where he's two whole years in his own hired house, a lot of people believe that's when the epistles of Philemon, Colossians, Ephesians, and Philippians were written. And, of course, you know, opinions. Everybody gets to have an opinion. But many, many people believe that because he's obviously in prison when those epistles were written, and he's in prison here in Rome. And so a lot of people think that's when those were written. So if you are in the process of getting revelation from God to write Philemon, Colossians, Ephesians, and Philippians, what do you think you're talking to people about? You're talking to them about the kinds of things that you find in those epistles. And that's preaching the kingdom of God. That's because if you just think about what's in those epistles. Just think about the whole scope of the church epistles. Is there incredible revelation in there about what's going to happen in the future? Yes. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15. There's a record in Corinthians somewhere about Paul getting revelation from God that was so hot he couldn't tell it to anybody else. And you know, God knew it was valuable to him to know things about the future. But when you stop and think about the epistles, that is not all that's in them. In fact, I don't know, I'm not good at guessing percentages, but I would say the majority of things are in the epistle are, look what you have right now. And what I'm saying is, that's preaching the kingdom of God as much as telling people about the future, which they obviously need to hear, since we need it. It wouldn't have been recorded if we didn't need to know that. And but let's go to Philippians chapter 3. And Philippians 3, let's start in verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And so there's Jesus, Jesus in power. That's, tell me if I repeated myself enough. the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And, you know, that's an example of the... we won't leave out the next verse. Any of you are reading ahead and seeing the word power in there. But that, you know, the righteousness, not my own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, that's part of preaching the kingdom of God, to tell someone you are righteous now. You didn't pay for this. Jesus Christ paid for it. You can have it. You've got direct access to God, and that's the kind of thing that's throughout the church epistles. And to see the future clearly is very valuable. But the bulk of what's written in the epistles is, you take a look at what there is right now. And that is no less preaching the kingdom of God than to talk about future events. Because kingdom means power and authority. And when you tell people your sins are forgiven and you have direct access to God, that is power. That is powerful. And, well, anyway, so I promised I wouldn't stop reading here. That I may know him, Jesus Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, and that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, there's the future there. But that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So those two things, someone who preaches the kingdom of God, those are two things that always come up. Not every day. You could do a whole teaching on the hope and never mention raising somebody from the dead. But you can, from the church epistles, you can teach you are righteous now. You can teach the whole renewed mind topic. Let's go to Colossians, Philippians, Colossians. Another one of these books that Paul wrote at that time in his life when he was preaching about the kingdom of God. As long as we're doing kingdom, we better start all the way back in Colossians 1, verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? There's power. So we're delivered from the power of darkness. That must mean we were under the power of darkness. Mm-hmm. We're delivered from the power of darkness and hath translated us. That's, it looks past tense to me. I don't know what it is, but it says hath. It's done. He hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And That's the reality, is you were over here in the power of darkness and God said, come over here. We're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. And, oh gosh, that's in the church epistles. So anyway, that's a little, you can't miss that kingdom verse in one. And then, of course, I just love this tail end of chapter one. For his body's sake, which is the church, at the end of 24, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, not hidden anymore. to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So there's Jesus Christ again, the reality of what he accomplished, the reality that we have Christ in us, we have Holy Spirit in us, we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And then look where it goes from there, verse 28, whom we preach. We preach Jesus Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. And it takes wisdom because every man is different. And you got to start at a different place with every man. And every man faces different challenges. But with that wisdom of God, Paul was all things to all men, and he took people from where they were and showed it to them bigger. Warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And so it wasn't enough just for them to say, well, here's the good news. You got Christ in you, the hope of glory. He wanted them to mature in Christ. He wanted them to really manifest everything that Christ had done for them. Present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, which brings in, you know, there's the spiritual reality and then there's the renewed mind. And he would work with them on renewing their minds and saying, yes, you have what the Word of God says you have. And help them to walk out on it and be perfect in Christ, or mature in Christ. Wherefore also I labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So that's what Paul did. So when he was in his own hired house for 2 years, preaching the kingdom of God, this is the kind of thing he was doing. He was bringing people along, you know, knowing that God's power and authority are available now. You can be brought from the kingdom of darkness, power of darkness, into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And can't remember if there's anything else that I just absolutely had to include. And like I say, that's the tip of the iceberg. That's a quarter of the verses in Acts and the church epistles. But I guess what I'm after is to say we can't limit the true magnificence of all that God has for us is not going to be, you know, let's go to Ephesians. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. Should be in Ephesians, right?
Mm-hmm. Where's the Corinthians? No, it's Corinthians 2, 1 Corinthians 2, 9.
Okay. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for him. But there was something in Ephesians just like that I wanted.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Two, I think.
Yeah, I do too.
2:7.
Every good word. Yeah, 2:7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is still at the center of all the great things, and we can't even, we just don't know everything that's going to happen in the future, but it's going to be awesome. and God, you know, known unto God are all his works from the beginning, and he knows what's coming in the future, But I guess my emphasis tonight is the power and authority of God are available right now. And when we preach the kingdom of God to people, we are not limited. We certainly can talk about the great things of the future, but we are not limited to that any more than the church epistles are limited to that. The church epistles talk about what we have right now because of Jesus Christ and how we can walk out on it by renewing our minds and growing up into Him. So, really enjoyed looking at it, and that's a fragment. Love you.